log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm your host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio with a smiling face, we have Sayyid Mahdi and Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
What I would like to ask to both of you is actually a question that's been on my mind, and I'm sure it's on a lot of people's minds. We spoke previously about the resistance front in terms of the media. Press TV and Al-Masira and Al-Alam, these are predominantly projecting the idea of the Islamic Revolution and revolutionary ideals. However, there were other channels as well, which at least apparently they didn't have anything to do with the revolution. There were other channels as well which didn't seem to be projecting as much the revolutionary ethos, and yet they were blocked. It does feel like a calculated attack against Shiaism collectively. So why is my question, actually? And I'd like to go to whoever. I think I'll go to Sayyid Mahdi first.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So here, just a little bit of a quick background. These are 33 channels in total which have been blocked. They have been censored, or in these very, you know, lame terms, they're calling it a seizure, so that it doesn't sound like censorship, but it is really, it is the censorship of free speech and the censorship of media. It is the censorship of ideas. There are 33 total channels that have been censored, that have been seized, they have been blocked, which include channels which are related to Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Sistani. It includes a Bahraini channel, which is an opposition channel based in for Bahrain. It includes, of course, Press TV. It includes Arabic language. Now, Press TV is news. Al-Alam is news. Al-Masira is also news, which is from Yemen. And then there's, like I said, there's a total of 33. So what's interesting is you find that a lot of these are news channels. Press TV, you can't really call it a Shia channel. Al-Alam is not a Shia channel. Al-Masira is not necessarily.
They're news channels, right?
They're news channels. Like, they're just like, it's like if tomorrow the, I don't know, the Chinese Communist Party wanted to block CNN and BBC and RT and Associated Press. I mean, the world would go wild. They would say, who has given you the right to block a news channel, you know? So this kind of censorship, first of all, we talked in a previous
program. If you allow me, there's a common denominator, right? Yeah. And that common denominator is that any channel who is one way or the other, loosely or strictly tied to, or in their calculation, in their research, their means, you know, FBI and the homeland security and so on and so forth, if in their calculation it's tied to the Islamic Republic of Iran, they get to pay the penalty, right? They are going to be blocked. That's a clear message that they send out by blocking some of those channels which are not so pro-revolution and so on and so forth. They wanted to give a clear message that if you even think of going down that route, you're going to be blocked.
I have a follow-up question, but
So, for example, now where is this coming from? One of the things that we talked in a previous program was this: that they are vulnerable, right? They're vulnerable. They feel fragile.
The West does.
This is why they did this very radical and extreme thing, you know. And they're vulnerable because they have realized that they're weak, right? You don't feel vulnerable if you feel that you're strong.
Mm-hmm. And they feel weak because their narrative is weak.
Their narrative is weak, and that's what's happening, is all of a sudden the Western world can no longer defend their ideals, you know, in this so-called offense. Really, it's the defense of this, you know, non-mass media, this mainstream mass media, right? So whether it's Press TV or Al Masira or these guys, they are no longer able to defend themselves. They are no longer able to, the Western media is no longer able to promote the falsehood and really protect the falsehood that is coming out with when it is faced with the truth and this alternate media that's coming out with these things. And they're afraid that the reality will come out. My final thing here is that this seizure and this censorship of these media outlets is in fact a colossal and manifest admittance of the failure of not just Western media, but their whole system and their whole propaganda empire. And it's interesting, ending with Sayyid Imam Ali Khamenei, right, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, he says that the Western Zionist media empire can be defeated. And this is what you're seeing, the present day defeat of the Western media empire. Don't let the seizure of a few media channels make you believe that they are in control.
There is something very beautiful and benign about the revolution, and anybody who has the Islamic revolution inculcated into their own ethos, whether to a lesser or greater extent.
Right.
And one of the aspects of that is this idea of unity, which everybody on an Islamic level or a non-Islamic level, just humanity, can understand the importance, the beauty of the concept of unity. In our context, we often talk about this in terms of the Sunni Shia schools of thought within Islam. There's at least one channel on that list that I know of which not only did not adhere to the revolutionary standards, it also went against the idea of unity. And so if I was the enemy, just trying to put myself into the Western imperialists' shoes for a moment, it would make more sense to block all those associated to the revolution and leave the rest. Why have they blocked those as well?
Well, like I pointed out before, that sometimes, you know, you want to give a stronger message to your opposition, right? So what you do is you go that extra mile as well, right? So there are some other Shia, quote-unquote, media outlets that have not been blocked. And some of them are allegedly on the payroll of MI6, mm-hmm. right? And we know that. Some others, you know, they were, I feel, one of the dimensions that I can think of is that it's a clear message. You want to be wearing, you know, the libas and the dress of Prophet. You want to be representing Shia Islam. This is a message to everyone who wants to do this. Don't even dare to affiliate yourselves with Iran. So this is like a preemptive sort of a thing. You give a message. Because sometimes when somebody decides that I'm going to do this, I'm going to be part of the resistance bloc, it's already too late for you to give them a message, right? By blocking these channels, you do a preemptive. You take a mm-hmm. preemptive strike. So those who are maybe thinking that, okay, let's change the direction because the tide is changing in support of the camp of resistance overall. So let's kind of, you know, squeeze in. Up until now, we have not. Maybe there were those plans. And because of those plans, they had to pay the price, or it was a preemptive.
And to add here, because if you read a few of these articles, it's interesting. The amount of, right, the Mossad has this statement where they say, through deception, we will conquer, or something like that. They have a certain motto that's like that, right? Meaning that one of their main tactics is smoke and mirrors, deception, falsehood, lies, you know, all this kind of crazy stuff. And so here you will find certain news outlets saying that this inclusion of non-revolutionary websites was somehow a mistake committed by the Justice Department, and they didn't do their research. I mean, come on, you have to be like totally naive to believe that a system that spends millions and millions of dollars on research and analysis, and they know who is doing what, right? There is a reason, and the reason which, you know, Sheikh Ali brought up for it, there is a reason why they have included these non-revolutionary websites, as
and
he off, said,
off
is sending
top of
a strong.
My mind,
they're doing it on purpose.
Another, yeah, there's another dimension to it. It could be that they wanted them to do certain things, let's say, and they denied, because those platforms are primarily running out of UK, if you notice,
mm-hmm.
the ones we're talking about, right? They denied, maybe. They're like, we don't want to get into this, right? So maybe they're getting punished. We don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing could be that they may unblock them and unseize them. This seizure is going to be lifted
mm-hmm.
As a result of some sort of a deal that they crack in future, maybe in a week or 10 days or 2 weeks. I don't know. Just saying that when you come to politics and when you come to the world, you know, politics and dynamics, these are complex decisions. They're not normally based on just one point agenda. You know, it's these decisions are multidimensional, multi-layered, generally speaking.
Right.
So there could be lots of reasons I could think of.
I want to add.
Is there no possibility that they did it out of a blunder? Because
no, there's no possibility.
I doubt
at
this
all,
is
man.
This is a very childish and naive.
They're spending way too much money to be able to make these kind of silly mistakes.
And it's right in your face. It's not like something you have to go and dig, right? It's right in your face. It's there. You're watching it. You watch their transmission for a week. So all you need is like a 9-to-5 guy, you know, on your payroll. Just sit there, you know, watch, and when you see these words, you know, just put it on a piece of paper. Very rogue, very simple.
They have computers that can just do that now.
Yeah, I wanted to add something just before the program ends, and that is my own personal humble opinion is that we should be very, very careful, and this is a warning to the whole world, right? The first part is that the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has openly declared that the United States of America is spiraling downwards towards a crash. It has already begun. He said a similar thing about the Zionist regime, that the downfall of the Zionist regime has begun and it will continue to spiral downwards until it crashes. He has said the same thing about America. This is what we're seeing. If you put all the connections together, whether it's Trump, still so many months later, still saying that the elections are rigged, and for example, the recent attack on the Hashd al-Shaabi on the border of Iraq and Syria, which the American Congress has said is a very inflammatory and something that Biden should have not done, right? And then the seizure of websites, which is the seizure of freedom of speech, the seizure of opinion, the seizure of ideas. The United States of America is starting to act like a maniac, and it is becoming a very serious threat to the stability of the entire world.
I mean, it already was, but now
now it's just blatant, right?
Mm.
I have never heard that the United States ever seized somebody else's news media outlets. You know, I mean, this is just crazy. And now you're attacking countries left and right. You're closing down websites and you're sanctioning people for multiple decades. It's really just like the Zionist regime is a very serious threat to the West Asian region. The United States of America is becoming a very serious threat to the entire world.
And actually, that's a good point. Let the record show that this happened during Biden's administration, because if this kind of thing had happened during Trump's time, everybody would be
everybody
like, well,
was mentally
you know,
prepared, right?
Yeah, Trump is going. It's Trump, right?
Crazy.
But no, this is Biden doing this. So, But yep. again, is this not a mistake on their part in the sense that this is going to create more
totally it's going
curiosity?
To
right?
Oh, you have no clue. You know, we're already looking at these even secular chat media outlets. You know, I'm not going to name them, but, you know, I've been following them. People who have nothing to do with Islam or Shia Islam or Iran, you know, they're like, they're taking a notice of it in that free world. There is such a big opposition of what the United States has done. It has actually, if you notice, this action of the United States of America has endorsed what we have been saying for years, that they silence the word of logic, they silence the word of truth. Anything they don't like, they silence, right? Anything that does not chime with their own agenda, they silence. We've been saying it. Sometimes it was a bit tricky to prove it. Now it's right in your face.
Yeah.
Now you don't need to prove it, right? It has backfired big time, and you'll see. Every time they have tried to suppress the innocent people and oppressed people of the world, it actually sooner or later backfired for them, right? Yeah. I've got so many of those examples, right, which you don't have time for.
Mm.
Same thing is going to happen in cyber world and in electronic media world now. They're suppressing, they're silencing it. You know, somebody who was doing it half-heartedly, now they're going to do it with more passion because it's already proven to them that they were doing it right.
That's all we have time for, unfortunately. A fascinating discussion, inshallah, which we will be continuing, inshallah, next time. From myself and from our honorable guests, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today, yeah. Allah, 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 Allah. I see the sun, the stars, the moon. I join them all in praising you. Allah, 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 Allah. I feel alive and I feel so good. I feel so close to you.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. Let us reflect upon what the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, had said to the people of Kufa, who had invited him to come to Iraq to deliver them from Umayyad oppression. But because of their weak faith, they deserted him. If you will not hold unto your pledge of allegiance, break your covenant, and throw off my pledge of allegiance, then by Allah, it is not the first time you do it. You did it with my father, Imam Ali, and you have done it with my brother, Imam Hassan, and my cousin, Muslim ibn Aqil.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
We don't know much about woolly mammoths that went extinct some 10,000 years ago, except their scant references in archaeology books. Now, scientists have discovered that the giant mammals could walk incredibly long distances. Scientists from the University of Alaska have concluded that a male mammoth named Kik covered enough ground on its 28-year lifespan to encircle the Earth twice. That's a lot. To come up with the data, paleontologists analyzed one of Kik's well-preserved tusks. They say the animal lived with a herd through its infancy and youth, and then went on to live alone. Scientists hope they will learn more about mammoths by analyzing further data from Kik's remains.
After an epic 17-month journey that drew international attention, China's famous herd of wandering elephants has finally returned home. Wildlife protection officials said the elephants safely crossed the bridge over the Yuan River to reach their protected habitat. The Asian elephants also received a little encouragement from wildlife rangers to help them get home. Staff used corn trails as bait and built artificial roads to ensure the herd took the right route. The 1,300-kilometer odyssey that began in March captivated audiences with several highlights. One of the highlights was the birth of a calf in November. In June, drone footage was captured of the 14-member herd as they were sleeping outside of a village. In Indonesia, a group of university lecturers have come up with an idea of building a robot to help people during the coronavirus pandemic. The robot is assembled from electric household items like pots and pans and an old television monitor. It was named Delta after the new coronavirus variant ripped through Indonesia. The robot was initially built to entertain residents of a village in the country's East Java province. But the head of the robot-making project says he decided to shift his function into assisting people dealing with a deadly virus.
With this new Delta variant and the surging number of COVID-19 cases, I decided to turn the robot used for public services into one that sprays disinfectant and delivers food and necessities of residents who are self-isolating. I'm shifting the function to serve only the members of the community who are in need.
The interesting thing about a robot is that it greets people when delivering things to isolated residents. The developers of the robot say it has been built in a joint project with local people and is by no means a high-tech device. The world's oldest wooden boat belonging to Egyptian pharaoh King Khufu has been moved to its new home in a painstaking transfer process. It took 48 hours to move the 20-ton vessel to the Grand Egyptian Museum from the Giza pyramids. It was carefully fixed inside a metal cage and carried on a remote-controlled vehicle. The 4,600-year-old vessel, also known as Solar Boat, was not built to sail through seas. In ancient Egypt, pharaohs commissioned solar boats, which were essentially virtual vessels, to transport them to the afterlife. To fulfill their purpose, they were buried in pits next to royal burial chambers. Prehistoric cave paintings found in Spain prove that Neanderthals were the first artists on Earth. A new study says red markings discovered in three caves near Malaga did not occur naturally. They were made by Neanderthals nearly 65,000 years ago. That's when modern humans did not inhabit the continent yet. The findings suggest that the pigments were applied at different times, sometimes more than 10,000 years apart. This shows that Neanderthals returned to the site over time to make symbolic markings.
I believe that this art made by the Neanderthals will be also found in other caves around the world. This non-figurative art, which we have not paid attention to, may be precisely the oldest art in the world. So this place in Spain is one of the caves with the oldest art in the world.
Researchers say the pigments are yet another evidence that the intellectual capabilities of Neanderthals have been underestimated. Neanderthals went extinct about 40,000 years ago.
Egypt's forgotten art of Fatik is undergoing a revival thanks to a designer who has been working hard to bring the ancient cloth decorating technique to life. Working tirelessly in a small workshop in Old Cairo, Samer Hassanian has enhanced the art of batik over the years. Samer is one of the few designers in Egypt to use the traditional method to design on fabrics. The art consists of patterns created by applying melted wax onto cloth before dipping it in dye or painting over it with a brush. The fabric is put into boiling water in order to melt the wax. The ancient Egyptians used the batik fabric mostly to wrap the coffins and mummies. However, the difficulty of mastering the art caused its disappearance.
Batik has disappeared in Egypt because no one shared their skill. As a teacher, I find that it is very important to provide as much training as I can because people realize how difficult it is when they start learning the techniques.
Samer has now a skillful artist in her workshop who designed colorful fabric using the technique. Samer says her goal is to produce unique designs that are particularly identified as to Egyptian and represent the country's rich cultural heritage.
Artists in an Egyptian village work hard to keep alive the ancient tradition of making papyrus paper despite the tourist downturn amid the coronavirus pandemic. The village of Karamus in northeastern Cairo is the largest hub of papyrus production in the country. Many of the residents of the village are involved in farming, processing and decorating papyrus planted in 25 farms near the village. The pharaonic era tradition includes cutting strips from the plant, pressing them together and drying them to form a sheet. The artists then decorate the papyrus to create beautiful products for tourists. However, the industry has been affected by the coronavirus pandemic, forcing the artists to use more creativity.
We are trying to think out of the box to keep this profession alive. We made products out of papyrus paper like wallets, notebooks, drawing sketches, new products, so we can keep going.
The artists have also launched online stores to sell their new products. Papyrus producers say they have lost nearly 80% of their income in the last 2 years. However, they say they will never stop making papyrus and will make every effort to keep the ancient cultural tradition alive.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
You can find tin boxes in every house, with people often throwing them away after consuming what they had inside. But an old lady in Belgium has turned it into an obsession for years to fill her home with these fascinating containers. 83-year-old Madame Dardenne has gathered around 60,000 vintage tin boxes in a span of 30 years. The empty containers of all sizes now occupy four other houses. They once used to hold used to hold all kinds of goods, ranging from coffee, biscuits, tobacco, tea, and soap to shoe polish, are now piled high all over the building that belongs to Dardenne. Some of these boxes, according to her, come from as far as India and Japan. Dardenne says it all started with a chocolate box that was given to her with a painting of a blonde girl in a blue hat.
I consider this box to be the first of my collection. It is a box of Belgian Côte d'Or chocolates that a relative of my husband gave me, believing that I was interested in boxes.
She sees the boxes as history books with decorations and writings on them describing major events and reflecting contemporary culture. The collection is the largest in the world, listed by the Guinness Book of Records. Located in eastern Belgium, the museum can be visited by appointment. Humans have damaged the environment perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Juan Carlos Rodriguez and his wife run a sloth rescue center in the lush outskirts of the Venezuelan capital, Caracas. They have so far saved over 45 sloths. The couple decided to start helping the furry mammals last year after running into a sloth that had been badly injured. They saved him and called him Chewie, after a character in the popular Star Wars franchise. Juan and his wife are now alone in their life-saving journey. Are not alone in their life-saving journey, as their vet friends also help them with services and donations. The coronavirus pandemic has disrupted lives all around the world, but it's important to try to stay fit for humans and animals alike. Penguins in an open zoo in Thailand have been keeping their daily routines, although no visitors are allowed due to COVID-19 restrictions. They are regularly taken out of their air-conditioned enclosure so they can enjoy a walk or swim. The 41 flightless birds consume nearly 25 kilograms of fresh fish each day. The cute animals at the zoo are aged from 1 month to 18 years old.
South Korean medical workers manning drive-through coronavirus testing centers have a new way to cool off and rest amid hot summer days, recovery buses. The medical workers are now able to enjoy their breaks at these buses, which are equipped with air conditioning, cold water, and snacks. The workers are allowed to take off their protective suits that trap heat and create an environment difficult to tolerate. Some of the buses also have shower booths and bunk beds to help the medical workers deal with their hard work. They say the buses are refreshing.
I almost feel like I'm stuck in a heat dome, like in a car with the air conditioner off in the middle of summer. It's so hot that it's even hard to breathe. But when I come here during the break time and rest in a much cooler and more pleasant environment like an igloo, I can recharge and work cheerfully in the afternoon.
These buses were first designed and used as resting places for Korean police officers and firefighters. Now, 22 of them are deployed to testing centers across the country. The government is considering deploying more recovery buses amid rising temperature and a new wave of coronavirus infections.
An aquarium in the French capital, Paris, is celebrating the birth of a baby black-tip shark. The female shark is 55 centimeters long and weighs 560 grams. She's currently quarantined in a small pond so she wouldn't come under attack by adult sharks. Officials at the aquarium say she'll be ready to swim amongst other sharks in 3 to 4 months. She was born last week at the aquarium, an event the caretakers say is very rare.
It's a rare event for us, which hadn't happened here for the past 5 years. The birth is quite rare in aquariums and in captivity in general. In fact, they're often embryos that won't survive, or they're sometimes stillborn. That's what makes it a rare event, which also occurs at night. We had the chance to observe it during the day, which allowed us to intervene very quickly, and we're able to recover the little one.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature has designated black-tipped sharks as a vulnerable species. It's particularly poached in some countries for their distinctive fins. The marvelous creatures have a torpedo-shaped body and often spin out of water while eating. They have specialized cells in their snouts that detect the electric current of nearby prey.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment they are purring for your attention, and the next they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabby and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabby hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabby's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not, based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful. Tabby is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice.
Children sang is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about the month of Muharram. Every day is Ashura, and every land is Karbala. As usual, we look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 5th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. I invite you to listen to some parts of Ziyarah Ashura, and a short commentary of this ziyarat.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alaykum minni jami'an salamullahi abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-laylu wal-nahar. Ya Aba Abdullah, laqad 'azmat ar-raziyyah wa jallat 'azmat al-musibah bika 'alayna wa 'ala jami' ahli al-islam wa jallat 'azmat musibatuka fi as-samawat 'ala jami' ahli as-samawat. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
Upon you and upon all of those who were killed is the salam of Allah from me for eternity, as long as the night and the day remain. O Aba Abdullah, surely the tribulations are great and unbearable, and your tragedy is great for us and for all the people of Islam, and unbearable and great is your tragedy in the heavens and for all of the dwellers of the heavens. May the curse and la'an be upon those people who laid down the foundations for the oppression and wrong done upon you, the family of the Prophet Ahlul Bayt. May Allah curse those people who denied you your position, O Ahlul Bayt, and removed you from your rank which Allah Himself had granted you.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
Upon you all I invoke the peace of Allah. In this phrase, desire is trying to say, only upon you all I invoke the peace of Allah. This means that it is only for likes of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam that desire invoke salam. Annexing the name of Allah to salam either means that we are invoking a higher level of peace from Allah or the absolute peace that belongs to Allah. Another intricacy worthy of consideration is that the name of Allah being the all-comprehensive name of God, when annexed to salam implies that we are seeking salam, that means protection and freedom from imperfection in all the perfect attributes of Imam al-Hussein and his loyal companions who are manifestations of the all-comprehensive name Allah.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein, Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein.
Today is a special on Muharram. Every day is Ashura, and every land is Karbala. The culture of Ashura will go on forever, and Karbala will remain the symbol of resistance and fighting against injustice and oppression. Our religious leaders have taught us to stand up against tyranny, and would do so themselves. Therefore, it isn't true that Ashura was an incident that took place in a certain time and place and is to be forgotten afterwards. The sense, every day is Ashura and every place is Karbala, signifies that the battle between good and evil is to go on and isn't limited to any time or place, and that this battle is linked to the ones before, forming a single chain. The incident of Ashura and Karbala is one of the clearest links of this very long chain. Good and evil are always face-to-face, and liberations are responsible for the guardianship of the good and fighting the evil. Thus, being careless regarding this battle is considered turning away from religion.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabinastain. In this episode, we are going to talk about making connections with Imam al-Hussein al-Salam as a necessary condition in our lives. Amongst in all Muslim communities, people, especially devout people, long for being resurrected in company with the infallibles, and particularly with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of resurrection. In order to achieve this end in the world hereafter, and especially on the day of resurrection, we are expected to behave in special ways. In the first place, we are expected to be aware of whatever we do in our daily lives, both in our individual life as well as in our social encounters with other people. When it's said in our social encounters, and the least degree is, for example, in our family life, and extended broadly into our social interactions with other people. At the same time, we find that those people, who are very much devoted to any single personality in this world, they would be associated with and resurrected together with those people in the world hereafter. So we have to think well about our devotees, those people to whom we feel a sense of devotion to.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels pray, while little children die. Hussein said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein.
You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program entitled Today's Special. We're going to speak about the merit of visiting the tomb of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Visiting the tomb of Imam al-Hussein is recommended, while emphasis upon visiting his grave is among the necessities of the religion. It is related that the visitation to his grave is essential upon every believer and is obligatory upon every man and woman. While one who abandons it, in fact, has abandoned the rights of Allah and His prophets, while abandoning it is ungratefulness with the Prophet of Allah and is a result of a defect in his belief and religion. And the one who deliberately avoids it, he shall be among the dwellers of hell. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him, told Muhammad ibn Muslim that direct our Shia to visit the grave of Husayn ibn Ali. For it has been made obligatory by Allah the Almighty, the Sublime, upon every believer who considers Husayn to be his Imam. On this month of Muharram, it's a nice idea to learn some lessons from the day of Ashura. Oneness of God. Dear friend, ultimately, all that Husayn did on that day, he did for Tawheed, that means the oneness of Allah, rising up against tyranny in order to reform the mission of his grandfather, whose sole purpose was preaching one Allah. Through the religion of Islam, the sheer faith he had in Allah can be reflected in this prayer he recited before his martyrdom. Although this world is considered to be pleasant, the reward of Allah is manifest and meritorious. And if the body is created for death, then martyrdom in the way of Allah is the best for man. And if sustenance is distributed and assured, then men should not strive hard to seek it. And if the gathering of this wealth will result in leaving behind, then why should men be avaricious?
There's a great amount of reward that's given to us by Allah just for crying. And I'll read you two hadith. The first hadith, look at how beautiful it is. It shows that amongst the doors to Allah's repentance and mercy is Imam Hussein, crying for Imam Hussein. The hadith of Imam al-Ridha, and this hadith is sahih, it's an authentic hadith. The Imam, he says, فَعَلَى مِثْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاكُونَ. He says, if you want to cry for anything, then cry for Hussein. Why? He says, فَإِنَّ الْبُكَاءَ عَلَيْهِ يَحُطُّ الذُّنُوبَ الْعِظَامِ. Allahu Akbar. He says, if you cry for Hussein, Allah will forgive you of your sins. In another hadith, he says, if you cry for Imam Hussein, Allah will forgive all your sins, whether they are large or small. Just shed a few tears for Abu Abdullah. The Imam Sadiq, he says, if you shed one tear as small as the wing of a fly for Abu Abdullah, the reward is Al-Jannah, paradise of Allah. Allah is so kind when it comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So there's a great amount of reward. Just shed a few tears. Allah will erase your sins because you cried for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah. السلام على المرمى بالدماء السلام على غريب الغرباء السلام على الحسين وعلى أنصار الحسين السلام
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.